What sort of health services were there in the area before the war?
Parramatta was the closest district hospital, and you went there, or down to Auburn. Not sure whether Auburn district, I think yes, they did have a small one, but Parramatta was the closest. Penrith only had a small one, Windsor. And so it would have depended if there was an accident where you were, you would have been taken to. They had a private hospital here, but only little one, Sister Rawlings, Sister Holmes. She was Sister Holmes and then she married Sister Rawlings later. She became married Rawlings, I mean.
Right.
And it was just up the corner. She did have operation cases there. Then there was another one over on the other side, Sister Overton, but hers was a maternity one. Mm-hmm. As regards the doctors, there were only about two doctors. Dr. Dunellan, it was old Dr. Bennett, was the first resident doctor, and then became Dr. Dunellan, and there was a Dr. McVean. He came just in there. Before the war years. So that was all the doctors in this district. Seven Hills didn't have a doctor. I'm not sure about Toongabby going down there. If there was, there would only be one. I think Rooty Hill was probably had one there, and St Mary's might have had a couple up there. So that if you want the doctor, you had to either ring up. Well, a lot of phone people didn't have phones on.
Did you have the phone?
No, didn't have it on. There was very few, it was only a few businesses that had phones on in the early days, or a few private people, but most of them, you either went to the post office and asked them to put a call through, or you'd go to the state railway station and ask them could they put an urgent call through. So that was all as regards the medical. We didn't have a chemist until must have been the late 30s there, but they came in, a chemist came in. So you either went to Parramatta for everything. There was quite a few doctors in Parramatta. You'd go in there to travel and see them.
What about buying clothes? Did you have to travel to buy clothes?
Yes, you would. There was a little general store, and there wouldn't have been many clothes. It was boys' pants and those type of things, or ordinary shirts, working shirts and that. But if you wanted anything good, you always went to town. And most of
Parramatta?
Parramatta or into Sydney. Oh. Anthony Horden's was, you could get everything at Anthony Horden's. And it was such a big firm. And my mother would go in and she'd meet her sister from Summer Hill and they'd have a shopping day in town, probably when the sales was on. Or, hope that's not going to go in, is it? And so that she would buy. But see, she didn't buy many frocks in the early days, and for me either, because she could make them. And so that it was cheap that way. And of course, when I started the office first, you could buy materials for about a shilling a yard or something like that, different things. You'd pick up bargains. So you could afford to have about 14 frocks. You wouldn't have to wear you wouldn't wear the same thing every day, and you'd have a change, and it might take you 14. You could go through 7 days without having to repeat the wardrobe again. And the same with shoes. You'd either go to Parramatta to buy shoes, or Parramatta didn't have quite a good shopping centre. There was frock dresses places there.
Oh, and what about the local churches? Were there churches close to your home?
Yes, they were all on the other side. There was the three churches that was here when we moved up. It was the Catholic St. Patrick's, which is where the Patrick's Mall is now. That was the last one because they moved down to Alice Street there. It was the Church of England, and the Anglican now they call it, and that was on the opposite side where the RTA is, or not quite, but it's the entrance into it. The car park there, and the Presbyterians were around in Campbell Street, and they were must have been on the end of the Culler Lane that goes in the back one, just up from where the gas works and the other That was just about somewhere either down below or up above, but that's where what they were.
And they've gone now, have they?
Yeah, well, the Presbyterians moved. They built a new one up in Marion Street because when they started to develop, everybody wanted them. So they went over there, down in Marion Street, and then, the Methodist Church later started, and they built down here in the corner of Prince Street and Second Avenue. Then the Baptist Church had started either before or after, but they're up in Saxville Street and Harold Street. So that became the two churches over this side, but they were not the original ones. Most of the ones that went there were breakaways from either Presbyterians or they may have been Methodists, but they just went the nearest church to them because there was nothing else. And so that was how that, and then gradually the Methodists built their church up where the RTA is now, and then when the combined amalgamation of the Methodists and the Presbyterians, but they still kept the same church, but then they finally sold that and they built up the back of the hospital. So, but the Presbyterians have started over at Layla Park, but there's no Presbyterians in Blacktown.
And did the churches play a fairly big part in the social activity of the town in the early days?
Not a great deal, only amongst themselves they would sometimes have a social. Or you'd have your little hall that might have... often people would take part if often they'd have flash shows or sailor works, and they'd be down in the old School of Arts, and that was down in the main street. It's hard to remember. Just the top side of where the Bank of New South Wales is coming to Sydney side, but
is that somewhere near the post office?
No, the post office. Mm. Now there's a bit of a, there's a walkway between the Bank of New South Wales and, it's the arcade, is it? Para Arcade or something that runs through. But that was roughly where the School of Arts was. And then, of course, there was only little odd shops along.
So there'd be very few old buildings that were there then that would still be standing.
There's practically none. The only one that would be standing now is the one up Bow's Cafe, coming up to Warwick Lane, and it's got the date 1926 on it.
Is that the Chinese?
Yes, Bow's Cafe, yes. And I think it's the liquor store next to it or something, and that's, there were two shops there, one was a refreshment room, because where the rural, what did that become? The Advance Bank, isn't it? The State Bank, isn't it?
That's right.
Well, that was where the site of the old Rivoli Theatre was.
Oh.
Well, the picture show business, that started in the 1920s.
Oh, good. I was going to ask about recreation, what you did for recreation. And
well, I didn't do anything for recreation as regards playing sport because I had to be careful. You know, well, my daughters say, now don't do all this, you know, running. It wasn't so much, it was only the first 6 months, but I got quite out of it when I went back to school. Mm-hmm. I didn't take any sport. I did play a bit of tennis prior to that, but nothing, I wasn't a tennis player. But most of the people played tennis and cricket, that was the main, or Vigro was another game. Different ones, they'd be in these teams. And but there was quite a big following of tennis ones. They were in competitions, there was a lot of, they'd have the, what's it, A, B and C grade or something, tennis competitions. And then they had the tennis court association over there, the hard courts, and they used to play a lot over there. And a lot of people had their own, had enough land, they had a tennis court in their ground, the back of their land. Mm.
And what about theatre and going to the pictures?
Well, when you worked in town, you'd go to the pictures quite a bit because you wouldn't have time to come home and go back. Actually, going to the theatre was only on a rare occasions you went and something. And did you go to the theatre? because the last train in those days left Central, especially the steam trains, well, even the electrics, was 11:30. So that you have to watch the time, you know, you got to get out to get up to the Central Station, well, even walk up or pick up a tram, wherever you might have been to get, once the electrics were running, you went down to a Town Hall Station or Wynyard. But even then, you had to be down in time for 11:30, or you walked up. You waited for the paper train, which left town about, 3 o'clock in the morning. See, what they call the paper train, it was one going through to the mountains, but the Herald, all the morning papers would be on it, and they tossed them out. They didn't deliver them by trucks or anything like that, no road transport then. They put them out at the station, and they just pull up and throw it out, the one that had the paper shop came down and collected them. Then they'd have the early morning papers. I think in the early days they never sold them at the station, they'd be open, they'd just collect them, and then there was gradually some of them became paper boys and they'd deliver some papers around.
Hmm. And what about clubs and auxiliaries and that sort of thing? Did your mother or you?
My mother belonged to the Red Cross. Well, the Red Cross had started, about 1920 here. So she'd been a Red Cross member at Stanmore, but then when she came up here, she joined up, and they used to have a monthly meeting and they'd go to it. And the CWA started a bit later. I've forgotten how long there, but that was late. It might have been the late 30s. And then they were working, because that was for the women on the land or the people. But they still met, monthly here. During the war years, the council had what they called the Patriotic Fund, and they worked for the servicemen. They had functions either to get hampers or something to send, or cakes and socks and different things.
Knitting socks.
Socks, yes, and that part. But as regards most of the churches had a guild, so that it was the ladies that go to those that wanted to. And in those days, the ladies' guild mainly consisted more of organising little functions for the church, or they'd do a bit of sewing at the same time, or bring it home and take it up there. But there wasn't a great deal of, there was no library in Blacktown, so there was no amenities much at all, because it was really by train you had to travel. It might have been one dentist, and he only, for a little while, just only came so many days a week. And then there was a Mr. Last, was the one, but he was a dentist. I don't know whether he was on a regular basis or whether he had another surgery elsewhere and he'd spend so much time in Blacktown than backwards and forwards. Hmm.
And so about the difference there now today? Do you think the churches has it been a big change in the number of people patronising churches generally, and do they still have social activities?
Oh, they have more of this. Yes, there have been a big change in the churches. There's more. The population's grown, and there's quite a large, because we've had such an influx of younger people. Or they've grown up, and because they're coming in to a centre, and they come mainly the bigger service, is more of the it's the 9:30 service. It's more like a family service, and then the youngsters can go to the Sunday school section or come in and then go out, and I think most of the churches find it that way. They've encouraged the young ones with their families to come, because it used to be 11 o'clock, so that was the part. There was no early service, because the Anglican and the Catholics have an early service. We have now on a regular, for years we've had it at 8 o'clock, and then it used to be 11 o'clock, but then it got down to 9:30, now it's 9:45. But they have more of their... they have a caring group at a church, and it's more for their own folks. Sometimes mothers have been sick, and they can't cook the meal, and there was a little group, and they'd have food cooked and put into the freezer, and if somebody'd ring up and say, oh, Mrs. So-and-so's not so good, you know, of the family or the... So different ones, they'd take an evening meal out or so-and-so to them, or that part. And they now have still up here, that we had Care Force up here as an office on our church premises. Well, they've gone to Rooty Hill now, the church up there, that's the big office up there, because it was more central for Mount Ruart and the folks that are living around. But we have what we call a caring group. Well, different ones are sent there, or they come up, and they don't give them money, but they counsel them up to a certain point, or give them a little bag of food, enough for a day or so. And then if it's more, they're wanting bills paid, well, they've got to go up to Care Force and present their cases, and they take it up from there to see if they're really genuine or what they can do, and they try to show them how to budget. And I think, I'm not sure about the Uniting Church, they've probably got something going, but they haven't got a centre. The Salvation Army has a centre, and St Patrick's has a centre. They call the Centre Care, I think it is. It's on the same principle, they're giving them advice, you know, help and advice.
And what about organisations, your involvement in organisations? Have you belonged to different groups like the CWA?
No, I don't. Until while I was working, right till I retired, I didn't belong to any, apart from the church group there. Mm. Well, I was the honorary secretary there for the parish council and the church committee, so that kept me busy with their meetings. But when I retired, I joined Parramatta View Club because I had three of the members down there. We all went to school at Blacktown. Oh, two did. The other one was when we went to Parramatta, domestic science. That's where we got to know Dulcie there. So, and also my friend next door belonged to the CWA, and I said, well, kept in touch with my other friend at Westmeath. And also you want two different interests when you're close by. And so she joined when she retired, and well, she had to retire earlier because she had hypertension and she couldn't carry on with. But so she joined the CWA. Well, I go to some of their, quite a few of their functions when they've got it on. And then I did Meals on Wheels for nearly 13 years. There was two other friends. And so we gave it away last year, and so that was part, it was on a regular, that was on a monthly basis we did it. And so apart, and then when Blacktown Historical Society started, I joined that because that was at night a meeting.
How often do they meet?
They meet once a month. Mm-hmm. And but see, we haven't got a proper home, that's the trouble. Oh, we've met in different spots there, yeah. But we're at the Blacktown West Public School, we have the room there, Assembly Hall. But the council did they bought an early public school at Riverston, and it had been acquired by the Masonic Lodge, and they had bought, they were built over the road somewhere else. And anyway, they bought that, the original school, and they turned that into the Bicentennial Museum. That covers, because Blacktown city area covers from Blacktown, part of Seven Hills, part of Toongabie, around King Langway, up to Windsor Road's the border line, out to up to Rich Riverston, Mount Ruart, bordering somewhere between Mount Ruart and St Mary's, back down the Western Highway, more or less. So it's a large area. And but I don't go up to Riverston much because it's I think they have a meeting every so often, but it's more or less, but the ones that those that are in there, the Blacktown Historical Society, there's a certain committee they were picked to represent, and they go up.
What else? Oh yes, how did the you know, after the war, a lot of immigrants came from Europe. Mm. How did that affect your life or the life of the community in any way?
It it was, I don't think it affected it so much. They were more or less accepted because we really, I think we all felt sorry for them to what they'd been through, because there wasn't many Japanese came out at that stage, because they were, the way they treated our men at that stage, they wouldn't have been welcomed.
No.
Prior to the war, there was a lot, the main groups that was out was Maltese and Italians that were living around the areas, and they all had the market gardens, and they would have been either working and their wives was doing it, depended on the size of land they had. And then as they started to come through, there was more of the Germans came out, and we've got German friends, they moved from, they were over on the opposite corner, and they had moved, they'd been in different spots in their migrant camp. They were up at Cowra, I think. They were in Victoria and then sent up there, and then and the Dutch came out, different ones. But they were accepted. And of course then there's been such an influx now, we're such a cosmopolitan lot, but you don't know who we've got. And the same when you count up all their various churches, how many churches we've got around the district now for their, that particular country.
Mm. Well, I think, after reflecting on your life during that period, how do you feel about all the rapid growth that's taken place and the changes that have taken place in the area? Do you think it's changed for the better, for women particularly?
Well, I suppose it has, because a lot of them's getting more help and support for things that they wouldn't have in the early days, that there was no maybe we didn't hear of some of the cases because they were, well, women couldn't go anywhere. If they walked off from their husband, they had no support whatsoever. There was no pension or with a deserted wife's pension. So you either had to stay at home, put up with your husband's treatment, or just, and for the children's sake, until they grew up enough that they were either went to school and started to work and went out on their own, that the mother then perhaps would make a break away. And see, pensions, it was very, very low people. If you got on a pension prior to World War II, or a few years back there, it was very only about £1 a week or something. So it didn't really, it was really a pittance. And nobody, it was a bit of a disgrace to think you had to go on a pension. But so now that there's so many other places for help, plus all the convenience. See, when the radio came in first, well, everybody had the little crystal set. And then you got one with the valve that was plugged in for the electricity. Well, the electricity, we didn't get, but there was no electricity here when we came, but it was out in the street, or it came through later. And so that it was all, everything's been improved all the way through, and then with television, and see, and then the man on the moon, which we, it's often joke about the man on the moon, but never thought a man on the moon would ever land on the moon. And so now, see, with the children, because, they've got many more possibilities to improve themselves if they wish to.
With more facilities
and that, yes. And see the libraries, they can go to the library to check up from school. I don't know about the teaching or what's going on, or the syllabus they're giving them, whether it's the right one or they're still not training them in the right way for the three main things, because you hear all so and so. But if you don't train the youngster while they're young, and ground them in those things, well, you can't do it afterwards. The same as disciplining the children. I mean, a lot of parents will say, oh, well, when's about 8 or 9, I'll put my foot down, but 8 and 9's too late. Because as from a baby, they've got to learn to know by your voice, whether you mean yes or no.
And do you think young mothers are better off with the more urbanised development, they wouldn't be as isolated as they were when, say, your mother was rearing children.
Oh no, the big, see there's close ones around, I mean, but that part, and they've got other places where they can, places where they can go, because there was the baby health centres. Well, a lot of them didn't have, the place didn't have a baby health centre till the late, I suppose the late 30s, might have been the first one that came here and people would go to it for help and advice with rearing children. Because now these, and see with the way they've developed, so many of the mothers are working that they're not at home to ask advice, or if they are at home with their children while they're small, they've got no neighbours because they're either all working, see, and they've got to join something to get in and or get out.
Is there anything else you'd like to mention?
Well, as regards, so up till the war years, more or less, and then it started to drop away. Everybody wore hats, and you'd always wear gloves. You'd always have a pair of gloves with you. If you went to town or you went to church, you'd have your gloves. Sometimes you'd put them on, but anyway, you'd have them, you'd carry it. And hats were most essential. You'd always have a few hats. And it was either black shoes or white shoes you'd have. One's for summer and some for winter. But brown, some people just stuck in brown shoes, but there wasn't a variety of shoes that you know, as regards the colour and that, for every day. But, and see, the footpaths were not made, but if we went to town, we'd come home. Well, there was nothing to come home at midnight, well, if you caught the 11 o'clock, so you might have caught an earlier train. They were on about a half hour or an hourly service, but you'd walk home. You had no fear of walking home. I've walked home across the which was across there was the paddock, you know, and you walk up and you come home and not a soul would you felt quite safe. But these days I don't go out at night apart from in the car, but I wouldn't go out walking. But
And the landscape's changed enormously too, hasn't
oh,
it?
Oh yes. Well, see, when they started, first they cut every tree down where they were developing. Now they realise they shouldn't have, so they're leaving trees, and there's a lot more trees have grown around. And when you get up to a high spot somewhere along the roads and look down, you can see so much green around. And, oh no, it has. It's really, it is a city now, but it's, to when you look back and see the dirt roads that we had and the when the rain would come and the mud, and most of it was horse-drawn vehicles, or the cars, and then it was the early, our first car was a Whippet now, or a, but anyway, it was the a Tourer, and of course that was my father and my brother had that, but and then he used it for work, moving, taking his ladders and that around. And your speed limit, well, he wasn't supposed to go too fast.
Did your mother learn to drive?
She never learned to drive. I learned to drive, it was just in the commencement of the war years, but then I dropped it. I kept my licence going, but never did use much, because petrol rationing came in. See, there were things where we had the rationing, and there was butter rationing. It was the sugar was all right, I think. Petrol, there might have been some sugar. But I know that you kind of got, you got through with things, nothing fancy in the food line. But then I didn't pick it up again until 1954. I'd occasionally have a drive, but I had to learn all over again. And after my father died, well, my brother said, if you want to keep that car, you better get stuck into it. And I got stuck into it then. But for about 3 months, I wouldn't give anybody a lift. I just used the car, and then from then on, well, I've been driving ever since.
And would you say, looking back, that it was a harder life then, or...?
Well, I think probably it was a harder life, because you didn't have the convenience of the hot water service. To have your bath, you'd have a chip heater. Very few people had a hot water service. They all had either, well, there was no gas. The gas only came in, I suppose, the last 30 years. Certain parts got it, but as they brought it through, and only the people in the street that wanted what they'd put it up for, well, I don't think anybody in our street's got gas. So everybody's got electricity. And see, all those things have made it much more, life is much more pleasant, and especially once the sewerage system came along, you've got your little house indoors now. You don't have to walk out in the cold and the weather, winter, and the frost or the rain. I don't think there's anything more.
Well, thank you very much, Claire. That was very interesting.